Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Once Upon a Time After Show, Season 5, Episode 14, Devil's Due. Everyone, bear with me. I'm here, I promise. I'm Tiana Hobson, and joining me tonight across the table, I have Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
And Blake McIver.
Well, hello, everyone.
The applause is just overwhelming right now. Thank you, Stephen in the booth. So overall thoughts on tonight's episode. Did you guys like?
I like this because Hades is such a badass. And I wasn't expecting it because, I mean, I think I questioned last after show. I was like, I like Hades. I like this portrayal. And this, he just like amped up his performance like no other. He's a villain that we should all, you know, be wary of.
And are we getting better with his weave or are we still...
Well, we can address that in detail later, but I think, yeah, no, I think we were happy with Hades in tonight's episode. Overall, I thought it was a really good episode. I thought something that could have fallen into the, like, filler category, they really, like, gave us a lot of plot.
They brought us a lot, and, you know, for me over here, Hooker for Life, I'm just so happy that, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the episode, Hook gets saved this episode.
Hooray!
That he does!
Are we just going to completely ignore that Tiana's wearing a cape?
Oh yeah, for those of you who are wondering, I do have a cape on. It's blue, and I have on a Marvel t-shirt. Went to a superhero party
and
before
you're Agent
this.
T.
Amazing. I'm Agent T today.
You're not Tiana, you're Agent T.
Yes, I'm Agent T. So let's get into tonight's episode. We're going to start off talking about the flashbacks that we get to see because we learn a lot in these flashbacks. Mila's back.
With a vengeance.
With a vengeance.
I mean, she always was vengeful.
Yeah, but I don't know, because I'm trying to remember from when she was around.
Right.
You know, to place where we are in this flashback with what we've already seen. And we get to see her, the first encounter, which I thought the last time we saw this was her first encounter with Hook. But we get to see that as well. But Rumple and her are in the forest and they're arguing because, you know, she thinks he's a wimp, needs to step up his manliness a little bit instead of just playing with Bay all day and all night.
Protect you from the big one, equal butterfly. I'm like, what? How patronizing was she?
And that's when little Bay gets attacked by a snake and Tiana closed her eyes.
So did Blake. I didn't know that we shared this thing of like not being able to even look at snakes on screen, but we have the same problem.
We have the same thing. So I spent the rest of the scene with my eyes down just listening.
And the sound effects that every television show uses for snakes are just the worst.
Yeah, they are.
It's so cruel.
It sends chills down my spine, and I just think that people should put a warning up that a snake is about to be on screen.
I need a
so that
warning.
I don't scream and pee my pants at the same time.
So true.
Well, but Marissa watched it.
So Marissa, what happened?
Snakes don't bother me.
Please fill us in, Marissa.
So Bay gets bitten.
That was it?
That's it. Well, like, it's really not smart of Bay to be playing with the snake. Like, oh, look at this dangerous thing right in front of me. I think I'll stick my hand out. And sure enough, he gets bitten, of course.
I had the same thought. Like, child, don't you know better? Who plays with snakes?
Crazy people.
Crazy people.
I think he was trying to, like, play Voldemort or something, like playing with snakes.
He thought he could speak to it.
Oh, yeah. Right. What's that called when you can speak
parcel to... Tongue?
Parcel tongue. Thank you.
He's a parcel
tongue. That's my parcel tongue.
That was good, Tiana.
Thank you. So we find out, because he's not doing so well, they go to a healer. We find out that it's an Atlantean rat snake, and he has 24 hours to live.
I think it's very interesting that they mention Atlantean Which makes me think Atlantis.
Perhaps.
That's where my mind went. And I also thought of, like, the ocean and, like...
I can't be the only one thinking Atlantis.
No.
A mythic world. A mysterious world that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to bring that into this.
Yeah, it would be. And why is this Atlantean snake, rack snake, here in the enchanted forest? Like, how did it get there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it based in there or is it based somewhere else? Convenient. I don't know. And he basically tries to swindle them out of 100 gold pieces to get the cure to save their son, which, I mean, you're not a good person if you're going to use someone's dying child to try to get rich.
Nope.
No. That was a steep price.
He has those Mike Tyson face tattoos. That should have been our first, like, tip off.
He doesn't play. And this is where we see Mila, you know, basically saying to Rumpel, you need to man up right now and go take it from him and kill him and, you know, save our son.
I think it was interesting it was coming from Mila, be like, hey, I'm encouraging you to kill to save our son. Like, she already had a dark side. And we know at this point she doesn't think that Rumpel's a strong man. But to literally set him up to kill someone, like, that's very dark of her.
And I really liked Rumpel's excuse, because to fast forward a little bit, when he doesn't go through with it and then he comes back and tells his extremely different side of the story than what actually happened. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, I didn't want Bay to grow up with a murderer for a father. And then just to hear that and then to see what he became, and he basically became even worse than a murderer for Bay to grow up with as a father. So you could see, like, the innocence that was still there in him before he became the Dark One.
I just liked Mila sitting there in the tavern just throwing back drinks, and Rumpel was eating what looked like it could have been either donut holes or tater tots, just sitting next to her. It was like that.
You know what? I hope it was both.
That visual juxtaposition was amazing.
They look like hush puppies.
Yeah, hush puppies. That's exactly what they look
like. Hush puppies, yes.
Which is, like, halfway between a tater
best of both worlds just meshed together.
I mean, they are by a port. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So we see that, you know, she sends him off on his way. They send their last gold piece on a knife or a dagger to go kill this guy. And then this is when, as she's throwing back drinks, like a lady should in a bar, we see Drunky McJunkerston come up to her, spill a drink on her, and then start trying to dry off her boobs, which is just sexual harassment at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
And Hook is actually the one, Killian Jones, because he's
Captain.
Killian Jones comes over and is like, hey, dude, leave the lady alone, punches him out. And she's like, ooh, wish my husband was like you. And this is, you know, when they first meet and there's a little flirtation. And I never liked them together because I just never liked her.
Well, we were conditioned not to.
We were conditioned not to. Flashbacks. But in this moment, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. It didn't start off as a malicious type of thing. She was not a nice person, and she did push Rumpel to do things that he shouldn't do to make him a better man in her eyes. But the intentions were still for the greater good in her mind. So I was like, okay, Mila, I like getting this backstory on you.
Ooh, interesting. Sorry, I'm trying to follow the live chat
because
Roxy's not here. I already miss her. Follow her, Roxy Stry. Jonathan Munoz, sorry, butchered that, said that witch doctor looked like he was from Atlantis with all the tattoos and markings on his body.
Oh, that's a really
good point. And I didn't catch his name. But
they just kept calling him the healer.
I don't think they ever said his name. But hey, Atlantis people, that's what they're known for, is for healing.
That's true. Those crystals.
Boom.
Tying it all in together. I like that.
Got it.
All
right, yes.
Yeah, so basically Hook's like, well, you know, I'm always in port if you ever get rid of that husband of yours.
He was very forward.
But he was such a gentleman before that, you know? He was like,
Until that moment. Yeah.
He was a gentleman. He found out she was married. Maybe he meant, you know, smallpox happens and your husband ends up dying, I'll be there for you.
I mean, that's an offer I wouldn't have been able to refuse if I were in her position. I would have been like, okay, fine. I hear they have rooms upstairs.
Yeah. they charge by the hour.
Yes. Ooh, once upon a time after dark.
After dark.
Put your kids to bed.
So Rumpel, we catch up with him, and he doesn't kill the healer. But the healer says, how much does your child mean to you? Everything. And he's like, okay, well, I'll take something besides gold. And we find out that he signed away the life of his second-born child.
Oh, that's just even worse.
Yes.
Which was another thing that gave Mila more motivation, kind of made her a little less despicable.
Mm-hmm. Because if she wanted more kids. Which she wasn't ever very motherly.
No.
Towards Bay. And we did see that in the flashbacks. But, I mean, I don't know. Where did everyone's mind go as soon as you found out this information?
I thought that we were going to find out that Mila was pregnant. Be like, oh, psych. Like, oh, you just signed away my unborn child to this mystery man. So, I mean, maybe my mind just jumped there. But it's just like... That's so wrong and so cowardly, again, from Rumple. Be like, hey, take the easy way out because that was less blood to shed.
Yeah.
Coward.
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 But, I mean, yeah, just coward. I was going to try and defend that and be like, but, you know, he was just, he didn't want to murder someone.
And I get that. But, But really, too, if he really cared about his first son, how... That really is not showing the same love for his second child if he were to have one.
That's true. He's that like, is. Well, I mean, it's all contingency at this point.
How great of a father is he?
That's very true. Well, he does try to right the wrong, and he goes back when he is the Dark One and kills him to nullify the contract because he loves a good loophole and a deal. But
it was too easy, and you knew that was going to bite him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was way too easy to get rid of that guy. And that guy had such a distinct face, like you guys were mentioning the tattoos on his face and everything, that I was like, they didn't pay all that makeup to get on and spend hours doing that to just let him go off that easy.
No, because it could have just been some little, like, old witch doctor in a hut. Like, no, this was too curious specificity.
Very specific. Okay, so, like, let's jump ahead now to when we're actually in... Route to save Hook, because this was my favorite part of the whole episode, because he's finally saved. So we see that Rumple starts off with making the crystal ball to check in on Belle, or so we thought.
Ew, that potion with the eye.
Yeah, no. The eyeball. That's when Marissa kind of turned her head away.
I say anything with the nucleation involved, no thank you.
And see, we didn't flinch. We didn't have that,
but totally little, cool with it.
The tiny little snake and Tia and I are like,
Like, I watched Grey's Anatomy. That was,
yeah, that's know, I want,
okay, cool.
Guts, blood, so fine. Why,
but that was just, it was just no.
Yeah, so that didn't work out, but he... Just checking in on Belle, and he drops it, and he's all sad. And then that's kind of like, okay, I want to get home. Let's stop dilly-daddling along. And he shows up in Snow White and David's apartment and is like, okay, look, I'm ready to go home. Let's go find Hook. You five stay here. Me and Emma are going to go get him. Which, I don't know if I really trusted him to begin
no,
with.
No, because the weird impetus moment of that is he gets the note from Pan, his dad.
Oh, yeah.
And the pan flute was next to the note, which I was like, are we going to bring the pan flute back into importance again?
Guys.
With Rumple? Maybe.
I think that's going to call Pan.
I'm still thinking Pan's coming back next season.
Let's hope.
He has
that's
to.
Just on my wish list of everything, so I'm going to say it every week in hopes that everyone, all the writers are watching this podcast and hear me say it.
Kara H. in the chat says, was the eyeball from the fortune tellers in the Hercules movie?
Oh, one of the fates. When it has a little speck on it.
Present and future.
Oh, we're obsessed.
We're obsessed over here.
Such
you
a
guys,
problem. I'm
you guys
sorry,
are so
everyone.
Cute. No, I love it.
I'll just let everyone know. I watched Hercules every single day since Sunday. So literally like 6 days in a row since Sunday, and tonight will be 7. So.
Yes.
Tonight will be, meaning
will be.
She plans to once we're done here.
Because it's amazing.
It's amazing. So Rumple has an idea to sneak into where isolation would be for Hook. And they need to borrow someone who's already dead, Aura, to sneak in. So they go to Mila, whose job, ironically, there's a lot of irony in this episode.
I know.
We laughed a lot.
Yeah, we laughed a lot. Is actually as a crossing guard and protecting kids.
But protecting dead kids.
Yeah, protecting the dead kids.
That was the, like, macabre truth of this.
I wonder
And that's what I was like. I was like, oh, those poor kids are all dead.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like... Y'all killing the babies and sending them down here to Hades, and it's not their fault their parents didn't get them, you know,
And what are these baptized? Poor children's unfinished business? Like, how are they going to get out?
I don't know.
They don't have enough of life experience to have any business.
Should have taken that PSAT.
Maybe they were lost boys that Peter Pan got rid of before.
Oh, that he slashed.
Yeah, maybe there they were some didn't
girls
get to.
There. Yeah, there were some girls.
There were some girls, too. I don't know, but I felt so bad for the little kids.
Poor things.
I also feel that her job as a crossing guard didn't become necessary until Cruella De Vil got down there.
Seriously.
Because she's the craziest driver who won't stop for kids. Everyone else, I could see them stopping for some kids. Cruella, not so much.
Oh.
So now we have Mila in a predicament because she has to work with not only her ex-husband to go save her ex-lover, but she has to work with both her son's lover and baby mama and her ex-lover's new
current girlfriend.
That was by far the best introduction ever.
I literally wrote the quote down, "You've been with my former lover and my son," that she just said and let the awkward silence hang.
And was just like,
hashtag awkward.
I can't fight that. There's nothing Emma could say in that moment to be like, well, technically,
nope.
Just
girl.
Girl. Mm. But I love that Once Upon a Time will just put their business out there. You know, they like to remind us of these things because sometimes I'm sitting around watching the show. I'm like, wasn't she with that and that? And then how is this going to make sense? And then they just make the joke about it. And I'm like, thank you for calling it out because someone had to. And I don't have a platform loud enough to do it.
Yes. I love they're very self-aware and they can actually laugh at themselves for it.
Yes, exactly.
It's fun.
So they get down to the gates of hell, which happened to be at Emma's house. And before they go in and on their way down there, Emma tells Mila about her vision of Neil and lets her know that, you know, he's okay and he's in a better place and he's moved on. Did you guys think it was weird that she shared this with her and she hasn't even told her son or Rumpel about the encounter that she had with Neil?
No, I think it was more so that maybe Emma felt the guilt after such a terrible introduction to her baby's father's grandma, like the potential grandma in
the grandma
way.
Of.
And I think it was more so like, yes, I knew your son very well and intimately. I'm going to tell you what happened between us. So anything that you just learned about me 5 minutes ago, you can't judge me.
Yeah. It was awkward, though.
It
awkward
was.
It was really awkward. But they finally get down to the entrance and Rumpel's like, hey, I have this boat because they're crossing the river of souls.
The
river of lost souls.
Yes.
Which Hades actually introduced us to earlier in the episode when Hook wouldn't write down 3 people's names to go on the tombstones. Hades was like, okay, I'm going to put you in solitary, and here's the River of Lost Souls. Don't touch it, or else you'll... Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Keep your legs and arm inside the boat.
And arm.
For all of our Disneyland fans out there, that was fabulous.
Okay, can we talk about this River of Lost Souls for a second? Because Roxy's not here, and she's the animation person.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like how it was portrayed visually?
No.
No. I didn't. I mean, like, seriously, the ghosts in Ghostbusters were scarier than that river.
The ghosts in, again.
They were green, too. So.
I know I sound like a broken record, but, like, the ghosts in Hercules in the river in at the end of the movie when Herc dives down in there to get Meg out are scarier than what we saw.
Yeah, and because those, like, actually tried to pull Hades under at some points and stuff throughout the film, they look scary.
Yeah, let's be honest, the Haunted Mansion is scarier than what we saw in that CG.
These ghosts in this river, like, I couldn't tell if they were human form or some just, like, fog.
That was the thing that got me. I couldn't tell what form they were taking, but I also was like, okay, maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and this episode isn't about that.
Right.
So maybe it'll come into play later on and, you know, we'll have a Hercules type moment where someone's gonna have to go fishing for their friend and
people
make
are
it
agreeing
out.
With us in the chat.
I mean, it wasn't scary, but I was also thinking to myself, maybe because that wasn't the focus, we needed to just make it happen really quickly.
In the edit for last week's scenes from the next episode, like, it made it look like the River of Lost Souls was going to be much more important than it ended up being.
Yeah. Yes.
It was literally a visual device to get move the story forward.
Yeah. So basically, Rumpel steals a boat. They have a boat. He's like, oh, I don't want to leave the boat because what if someone steals it? And Mila's like, well, I don't trust you to stay here alone with it. So Emma, you go save Hook. If he tries anything, I'll yell for you. And I was like, okay, Mila, you're making me like you.
Smart woman.
And this is also kind of hard because you're in love with Hook, Emma's in love with Hook, and I don't know what your end goal is here. If you save him, do you want some sort of reunion with him or what? But I don't know. She had me so confused the whole episode. I had a hard time trusting her, but I know her intentions were very well.
Same here, especially when she had the conversation, like, all she really wanted to do, her unfinished, quote-unquote, business was with Bay. She wanted to know the outcome of Bay, and, like,
she wanted to apologize.
She felt bad and make amends. And then to give the audience a small moment of, like, is she redeemable? Should we like her after all these times that we don't? That's just kind of mean.
Yeah.
But very smart.
It was, but I actually, when she was having that conversation with Rumpel, I was like, these two don't like each other. And during the commercial break, I turned to Blake and I was like, oh my gosh, I thought he was about to push her overboard.
You called
to
it.
To be like, oh, you want to redeem yourself with our son? Take Oosh. This.
Oh.
And then he didn't. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God. Like, they're actually having a moment. And Rumpel saying, you know, you will see him again. And when you do, tell him his papa says hi. I got a tear in my eye. It was such a sweet moment where the two of them were finally getting along. And I was like, both of them are redeemable. And both of them deserve to get out of this alive.
See, what was making me think that Mila still wasn't redeemable is because they kept cutting back to the flashback when she was still mean and malicious.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, no, just knowing her past. Like, they gave us a brief moment where she could be good, but then they kept going to the idea that she was still mean. And I was like, no, don't like her. I don't think
Well, it reminded us of all the horrors of her past.
I just realized that they keep doing this down here in Hades to us, where we're having people whose parents were not the best parents come back around and say, you would have been enough. I should have been there for you more. We've seen it with Korra, Peter Pan, and now Mila. Mm. What are you playing at Once Upon a Time? I mean, where are you going with all this? Hmm? Trying to say all the parents deserve a second shot? Maybe Disney should stop killing one in the beginning.
One of each in every film.
Kids had two parents, Disney.
They wouldn't be having these problems.
Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest for a second.
The king and queen of Arendelle come in next episode just like all raggedy looking, like that shipwreck though.
We need our kids. We have unfinished business. Oh, Elsa, we shouldn't have made you hide your magic. Sorry, I watched that yesterday.
There
I
you
watched
go.
Frozen on my plane ride home yesterday, yes.
Arendelle, still a better world than the Storybrooke underworld is.
Still a better world.
Still a better world.
Still a better world.
But we see Hook, or Emma saving Hook, which was just way too easy. All she had to do was walk across the balance beam and get him. And then it's like, oh, okay, he's saved. And I was like, that was too easy. Hades wouldn't make it that easy, guys. Let's think about this for a second.
I did like how I actually felt that Hook was in jeopardy.
I mean, he was like,
I mean, to cross a metal beam that just so happens to be there, very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, is Emma going to save him? I don't know. Like, I thought they played the scene out very well.
They did.
It was kind of Indiana Jonesy, actually. It was a little Temple of Doom. With the hook on a hook. I didn't miss that part too.
Hook on a hook.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, while she's in there, we have Hades paying a visit to Rumpel, freezing Mila after they see each other, and then taking Rumpel, you know, to his little man cave, pouring him a drink, playing some pool, and it's like, hey, you know what? You've been one of my greatest, what did he call him?
Suppliers.
You know,
which is awkward,
and I need you back up there, but your friends have made me very angry and I want them to stay down here, which I don't understand that logic. If they're such a pain in your butt, send them back up there and then you're rid of them. But the longer you keep them here,
because where the logic is that they keep foiling Rumpel's and Dark One's evil plans, so he gets more souls by not having them up there saving people.
But then they're just going to, because he kept telling Hook that he brought hope into his little perfect world down here. And he wanted the hope to disappear in Hook's eyes because he still had it there. By keeping the people who are the inspiration of hope, It just seems like they're going to cause more troubles unless he plans to just dump them immediately into the river of lost souls.
Right.
That's the only way that they're not going to be an issue for you.
Well, the thing is, like, Hades likes to play games, too. He likes deals. He likes using other people to do his bidding, just like Rumpel always did. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's why Rumpel's and Hades against each other. It makes sense. It's actually kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
We laugh, we dance, we kiss, we schmooze, we go home happy. What do you say?
Yes!
Love it.
Yes! That was great.
So
you're welcome.
The original deal that Hades makes with him is, you know, he has to destroy the boat and leave his friends, well, not even really his friends, leave the people he came with behind, which he's fine with because he goes back and he, you know, he's like, well, Mila saw you there. So it's like, you got to take care of that problem. And he does exactly what I thought he was going to do to begin with and whooshes her into the Lost Souls River and then blames an attack on Hades for the reason why the boat's gone. And so is Mila.
Lies.
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 Liar.
Dirty. That was a dirty lie.
Yeah, and it's terrible because, like, we can't trust Rumpel above. We can't trust Rumpel below.
We can't trust Rumpel in between.
We can't. Like, you can't trust him anywhere.
Just can't trust him. And, I mean, for me, I was a little brokenhearted that Mila, one, never got to meet Henry, because that is technically her grandson. And
would she care?
Well, because she's saying that, you know, her unfinished business was her son, and that she should have been there for him, I think that meet her grandson would have been a good moment for her. And then also, I wanted to see what her and Hook would have done in that situation where Hook's just been saved. His eye is one of them. He looks like Rocky Balboa. He can't see out of one eye.
He's giving you a little Fetty Wap realness.
Yes.
With the, like, I mean, I was like, poor guy.
Yeah, and then he's got Emma right there and then Mila right there, you know, the woman he thought he lost and would never love again. And then the new woman is like, I just really would have liked to see that dynamic play out a little bit. But no, we didn't get to do that because thanks, Rumpel, you got rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see that, well, sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to piece everything together. I'm just gonna
Okay, but before you move on, but because we saw that Rumpel pushes her into the river, mm-hmm. and whatnot, and then at the end he actually says, like, no, I didn't like it all at all. Did you believe that, though? Do you believe that he's kind of changed a little bit for the better, that when he actually does evil actions, he feels
there's some remorse?
Bad? Yeah.
I was confused because the last thing he said to her was, I finally became the man you wanted me to be.
Well, that was just kind of a jab. Wanted me to be a jerk. Well, take it.
Yeah, and then he's saying that he didn't like doing it.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I kind of think you did like doing it.
Rumpel needs a therapist.
Where's Archie?
We need Jiminy back.
No.
Where are you?
He's stuck in Snow White's shirt.
Oh, that's true. Bragate.
Remember when? 2016. But we see that, you know, once they all try to get together, Hades, Regina tries to do the magical spell on Emma to take her heart out. Right. And she can't. And we find out that Regina, Snow White, and Emma have all got tombstones at the cemetery.
And you do have to realize that all three of those ladies, it sucks that it was all the women.
I know,
but,
right?
But all three of them have actually killed.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, and they, I mean, Emma's with Cruella was kind of like, again, manslaughter. But it was like more so intentional deaths.
Yeah, it was like premeditated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, intentional
type of stuff.
Murders.
Yeah, and so I wasn't surprised to see that it was them because, you know, as a show that's mostly based around strong females,
mm-hmm.
it
but
made
they're not
sense.
Perfect.
Yeah, they're not perfect because no one is. No one can run that long.
Nobody's
in heels.
Perfect.
Sorry.
And we got to see Regina's last name for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, Regina Mills.
Regina Mills.
Get to see that.
Distant cousin of Haley.
Haley Mills.
How great would that be?
It all comes back.
So then Rumpel goes to Hades, like, okay, I did what you want. Send me home now. I want to go. And Hades, like, hold up. You was trying to keep secrets from me, and I figured it out. He has the crystal ball, and Rumpel made it, actually, to find out where Bay is, but he just said, you know, he wanted to see his child. And we see Belle sitting there, and Belle doesn't even know she's pregnant, but Hades and Rumple do, which is a little
creepy.
Yeah. Because it's like, why are you all up in my business?
Seriously. Why do you know what's going
on? Yes. Why do you know what's going on in my body and I don't? Uh-huh. Like, that's
not okay.
Weird.
Not okay.
Magical x-ray.
Magic ultrasound.
It's like, I feel like I've been body scanned without permission.
That's what that blue light around Hades is. He's a human ultrasound.
But he actually has the healer that Rumple killed. Mm-hmm. Down there with him and had him probably forced him to sign over the contract that he had with Rumple over to Hades, because when you're in the underworld, it doesn't mean crap that you're dead.
Nope.
The contract is still the same. So now he's forcing Rumple to work with him to do his evil bidding.
All I kept thinking was like, I own you. You know what
Hades
says? Right.
I own you.
So,
and
yeah,
he does.
He owns the crap out of him.
My little nutmeg.
Because he can come back at any point in this child's life to claim that debt.
That's true.
It doesn't have to be right when the child is born. It could be 10 years.
Baby Gaston. I just decided.
If Belle were to name her baby Gaston, then she needs a therapist too.
We already know girl got issues.
Yeah, girl got issues.
I put somewhere in my notes, Jerry Springer episode.
Totally.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Totally.
Because Belle's not going to let her baby go.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Yeah, so then, I mean, the other really cute part of this episode was Regina and Daniel. And she's searching for the graveyard and she actually asked Cruella for help.
Which was awesome.
Which is funny because now Cruella is the mayor because Cora is no longer the mayor. I'm like,
that gave me life.
Out of all people, is the mayor.
Can we talk about the fur? Can we talk about that? I'm not going to say it is Bambi's.
Bambi's mom.
But I'm also not going to say it's not. Cruella is everything.
Cruella is
the drag queen of Once Upon a Time, and I'm living.
She really is like a drag queen.
She's so good. And her purse.
That bag, though.
That bag. I mean, I was mad she didn't say something else about the bag. Because we got the comment on her fur coat, and I was like, you have to explain the bag now, girl. But, you know, we didn't get that. But she explains
says Mayor Devil.
Mayor Devil. She explains to Regina how the graveyard works, and, you know, now that she's the mayor, she has the map of it to see everyone's tombstones and where they're located. Mm-hmm. And if it's upright, that means that they're still in town. If it's tipped over, then they've moved on to a better place. And if it's cracked, that's not good news for that person, because they went to the bad place. And I love that we got to see Regina go to Snow White to go with her, because, you know, this was a person whose life ended because of both of them.
Yep.
And, you know, Snow is there to be a support for her now because they have finally moved past all the past behaviors of them both. Marissa, I don't know. You're like looking lovingly like, oh, I just want to.
I agree, because it shows that even in this all these episodes since they've been in Underbrook, quote-unquote.
That Underbrook. I like that.
Because that's what she said. I like how it just shows how much Regina and Snow have become good friends. And to now, literally maybe cap off this Daniel feud that's always been between those two. The fact that they're, resolving this in the Underbrook, it means a lot. And it says a lot. That, maybe we can actually end this. That they can actually be allies and not rivals.
Right. This made me so happy because I wasn't here, obviously, season one. But that was always, I mean, Daniel. Forget it.
I wonder because we know he came there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what his unfinished business was.
That would be interesting to know.
Regina. because it seems like when as soon as I figured out, she was like, oh, I just want to find someone. Don't worry about what their name is. I was like, Daniel. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, this would be so great. Again, because I love a good love triangle, to have Regina there with Robin Hood and then have Daniel be there still and first love. And
first of all, noted to that triangle. But I'm glad that Daniel did pass to a better place, because that means since Daniel's moved on, Regina can move on with Robin. Outlaw queen.
And I think that that was another, you know, important moment of the symbolism of, okay, Snow and Regina are moving on past this. Daniel's moved on. Regina can move on with Rumpel's.
Robin.
I told you guys, I'm tired. Okay.
With Robin. She can officially be with Robin and not feel bad. She is like, there's no other relationships holding her back. She can officially be with Robin.
Closure.
Yes.
Yes, closure.
She has the closure with Daniel to move on. And I loved her goodbye to him. You know, you're my first love. And that was just so beautiful. Going back to Cruella real quick, though, what I wanted to say on that, I remember. After last week with her conversation with Henry, I just wasn't sure that Regina letting it out that her magic wasn't working as well there was the smartest idea, because, you know, Cruella was like, oh, your magic's not working, huh? Yeah, it works differently down here. And I was like, I don't want Cruella to know Regina's weaknesses in this place. And I don't know.
I think it's interesting that Regina actually has a weakness down in Storybrooke, because, or Underbrook.
Underbrook.
Goodness. That because we see Hades and Rumpel always use their magic and it's no problem. But, like, maybe it shows that Regina's not as bad as she thinks she is, and she's even conflicted personally. That's affecting emotions, magic. It's all correlated.
And interestingly enough, the moment she saves a life in distress, the power comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But then, you know, she got that fireball back, and Snow's like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I just wanted to see if it worked. And you kind of saw a glimpse of, like, oh, I have my power. And I was like, okay,
calm down.
Like, I'm a little bit pyro too, but you know, I don't want you like looking at that fire like, yeah, I'm gonna go burn some stuff. You're in Hades, everything's burning.
Yeah, he's already burning. It's
at least
fine.
She's not in a forest this time.
True.
Like the last time, she almost blew up that forest. But I liked how they showed the horse, because that goes back to the episode where she had to take the heart out of the horse and she couldn't do it when she was trained to be evil. But like the fact that she's even now healing horses down in Underbrook, she's becoming a better person.
Better person.
Yes, she's great, you guys. She's a great person.
Just ask Marissa, she'll tell you.
She'll tell you all about how great Regina is, which she is.
I
very
she
great.
Is.
Every episode.
Did I miss anything that you guys wanted to talk about in the episode? Any funny lines?
I think we covered just about
everything.
I know
Blake wants to talk about Hades' hair,
indeed.
Shall we
just do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, because it wasn't a very exciting episode for Once Upon a Weave. Like, my weavers out there. It wasn't a great night for us. But yes, honorable mention definitely goes to Hades, because they must have heard us, even though they already animated this weeks before we saw Hades. But we're going to pretend like
they heard us
and we didn't like the first blue hair. They fixed it. It looked better. It looked a little more fully fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as cheesy. Also, we're getting to know Hades more. So honorable mention.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Once Upon a Weave this week, it might surprise you, but it goes to Killian's flashback weave.
Oh my gosh, yes!
Because those tousled bangs were giving me feels, you guys.
I was thinking the same thing.
I got a little flushed. Maybe it's because we've seen him looking so terrible for so many weeks, and then like when we finally saw him looking like himself, I was like, oh my, I do declare, Killian Jones, I never dreamed.
Sorry, this week you're so happy.
But it did, sorry, Once Upon a Weave goes to flashback filter Killian.
In my mind, when I saw the flashbacks of him, I was like, did they make him look younger too? Oh my!
Whatever that
goodness.
Filter is, like, I want it on all my photos.
I need that in my life.
About, you have gray hair.
Mostly, I just need Captain Killian Jones in my life. But thank you for your Once Upon a Weave.
That was Once Upon a Weave.
Thank you, and I'm so happy. You know, hooker for life. Let's go into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Y'all, I can't even remember what we saw in the preview for next week.
I can't either, because we were so overwhelmed by plot points in this episode.
My heart was still racing with the ending of the episode that I might have blacked out a little bit.
So it looks like they're traveling, maybe from in between...
Sorry. Okay. I just remembered. Because I should remember, because it's Hook and his brother next week.
Yes. Right. Go for it.
Okay, so we see Hook and his brother is back, and they're back together. So we're going to get more of the backstory about them and, you know, what really happened and how his life has been since. And it looks like Hook has to make a choice of some sort of if he's going to cross over and go to the better place or stay back and wait for Emma and go back to the real world. And
decisions.
All I saw in that preview was Hook, FYI.
With his eye open again, thank God.
And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God we get a whole episode about him because he wasn't in last week's.
Right.
Right. We didn't really see Henry in tonight's episode.
No, we didn't. Poor Henry.
He was like running around somewhere. But we still know that he has the ability to be the author down there. So whatever Ish is gonna about to go down, he can easily rewrite over everything.
Yeah, they dropped that huge hint about the quill still being, like, alive and breathing somehow in the underworld, mm-hmm. and then we completely abandoned it this week, so maybe that's coming back.
I mean, that's just a big plot hole that maybe they just need to fill.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does with it, because he did vow not to use it anymore, and, you know, everyone should
just live
their lives.
But if he uses for good, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and does Hades know this loophole in it? Because whatever Hades is planning, especially with the three ladies' names on the tombstones, can Henry just write everyone out of this place? Like, well, do we even need to give Hook half a heart? Can Henry just find the quill and write them out of there?
Well, you gotta remember that because Snow White, Emma, and Regina, they're all still stuck in Underbrook, but all the people that they killed are still in Underbrook. Mm. So there is actually a possibility where they can redeem themselves because, I mean, Cruella's still there. And Cora is still there because she didn't really move on. She's just a peasant now.
Oh.
And then who else am I thinking of? So many names. That was Cora. Okay, so you know what I'm saying, but, like, they still have the opportunity to redeem themselves and finish their business so they can move on.
Yeah, the blind witch.
Blind, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Because Regina did kill her, too.
Right.
Regina's killed a lot of people, so she got a few people down there.
And hundreds upon hundreds of peasants just wandering around down there that were randomly killed by the evil queen.
Yeah, it was probably those kids. You know, they probably tried to take an apple, and Regina was like, no, it's mine, you're dead.
I loved Hades' lines, though. It's like, Regina has done a good amount, but, you know, she's been lately. Because she's good, you guys. Less killing.
All right, well, any more predictions? Ooh, also, I think, I can't remember right now if I read this for sure, but I think Hook's dad is supposed to be involved somehow. So I feel like in the underworld, Hook's dad could be there because, you know, remember we saw him die with the other kid. And so maybe the whole family is like reunited.
Oh,
in
that
some
could
way.
Be interesting.
That could be very interesting.
Yeah,
as well.
And Hook's father's not the nicest guy either.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, so no. I don't know. Make sure you guys let us know what your predictions are and where can the good people of Underbrook find you guys.
The good people of Underbrook. You can find me everywhere at Blake MacIver.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV.
And I'm at the Tiana Hobson. And make sure you check out AfterBuzz TV everywhere online at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for tuning in to us. We will be back next week live at 9 p.m. Pacific time here on AfterBuzz TV to talk about Once Upon a Time. So make sure you tune in.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.